This afternoon, I want to continue looking at the book of Acts. And so if you have your Bibles, you will turn with me to Acts chapter 18. And we want to begin at verse 18 and through verse 22. Paul has been on his second missionary journey, and he has traveled throughout much of what is Greece and Macedonia today. He had gone to both Athens and Corinth. At Corinth, he had met a tremendous response to the gospel, many people coming to know Christ. And we know that there was a strong group of believers there, because later on he wrote two letters to the church at Corinth, although that they had been influenced later on by false teaching that had come into the church and ungodly attitudes. And Paul wrote both of those letters dealing with correcting heresy and also correcting attitudes within the church. But there was a number that came to faith in Corinth, and then Athens, it was not as many, although there were some. And remember, we said that Athens was a city that was filled with all kinds of people looking at philosophies of men, and they loved following men's philosophies. And in Corinth, it was much more geared towards the physical, the emphasis was on athletics as well as the worship of gods and goddesses by using physical means. And we see that it's really much similar today. Oftentimes, some of the hardest people to reach are those that are caught up in the vain philosophies of the world and have become so arrogant and proud in their own estimation of who has truth, when there is only one source of truth, and that is our Lord and Savior. And we see that oftentimes people that are just caught up in the physical realms many times are easier to reach with the gospel. And that was the case when Paul went to Athens and Corinth. He's now left Corinth. He's headed back, and he's going back to his home base, which is Antioch. And during all three of Paul's missionary journeys, he begins from Antioch. And it's interesting, he doesn't begin from Jerusalem. He begins from Antioch. Antioch is a city that's located it's fairly close to Tarsus, which was Paul's home city where he had been raised and grown up. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And that's what he was referred to. Antioch is where they were always sent. It's where they were first sent out. It's where Paul and Barnabas were sent by the church in Jerusalem, as many had come to know Christ in Antioch, and they went up there. And they taught for a number of months and brought truth to the people and helped to ground them in the Word of God. And then the Christians in Antioch sent them out on these missionary journeys. Well, they're coming back, and let's take a look at the return from Greece and Macedonia and ending up at Antioch. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a little while, good while, and then he took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And where he had tarried was with the Greeks, and you can see that up in the verses that we had been studying. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Now, the way that the language is, you don't know whether it's or Paul that had shorn his head, but they had taken a vow, and it doesn't really tell us what the vow was, but there were vows that would be taken, and when the vow was completed, they would shave their hair off, as they didn't cut their hair until the vow was completed. We don't know what the vow was, we don't know what the circumstances were, and we're really uncertain whether it was Paul or Aquila that had made this vow, but one of them had, and maybe it was Paul, that had made the vow, and then now had shorn his hair because the end of the vow had happened. Then we see that it says in verse 19, and then came to Ephesus and left them there. That is, Aquila and Priscilla were left at Ephesus. But he, that is Paul, himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us as we look at Paul's return from the second missionary journey that he'd been commissioned to go to, not only by the believers in Antioch, but also by you. And you're opening up the doors in throughout all the what is today Eastern Europe, the Southern and Eastern Europe, and the countries of Greece, and where much of Turkey is. And Father, we pray that you would just help us to understand things that happened to Paul and how those are to be applied to our life as well. Lord, now speak to us through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I want us to look at this afternoon is the fact that Paul had people with him because he was not a one-man band. And there is no one-man band in the church. Paul, even though God had commissioned him to be a missionary and to establish churches, and that's what Paul did, he took the gospel to the Gentiles, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, yet every missionary journey he goes on, he takes many other people with him. We know that Luke went with him, as Luke recorded all of these journeys and recorded the events that were happening with Paul and those that were with him. Some of the other people's names are often given to us. And then later on in Paul's letters to the various churches, many of these people are brought up as he has left them at various locations along the way, and they have become instrumental in helping those that have come to faith in Christ to understand the deeper things of God's Word and to understand the principles of God's Word and how they're to be applied to their life. And so they were not only winning people to Christ, but they were laying a foundation by which they would live their lives and become godly in character, as we saw this morning, making right choices. And two of these people were Aquila and Priscilla. We saw that Paul had met them in Corinth, and that they had been really expelled from Rome because the emperor of Rome had decided that no Jews were to remain in Rome. And so he commanded that all Jews depart from Rome. They were Jewish, and so they left, and they went to Corinth, and they were tent makers, just like Paul. That's how Paul met them, as he was making tents, and met them by the river where they were making tents in Corinth. And we see that Paul had a bond with them, and it's unclear whether they were already Christians or just grounded in the Word of God and through Judaism. But either way, they had a bond with Paul. They listened to what he said, and they embraced the gospel and desired to even know more and more. And so they stayed with Paul to the point of when he left and went to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a very interesting city. Remember, Ephesus is the center of Diana worship. Later on, Paul is going to come back to Ephesus. We're going to be looking at that in his third missionary journey. But he first lands in Ephesus at the end of his second missionary journey. He preaches in the synagogue, which was Paul's way of entering a city, going in and preaching to those that had a foundation in the Word of God, and then showing from their incomplete understanding, but showing them through that Word that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Messiah, and he had come to redeem mankind and take away their sins. That was Paul's, the way that Paul approached the city. So if there's a synagogue, that's where he'd go first. That's exactly what he did in Ephesus. He didn't spend a lot of time there, but when he went there, there was response. And we see later on from reading not only in Paul's third missionary journey, but also in his letter to the church at Ephesus, that there was a strong response to the gospel. We also know from Jesus' commendations and condemnations to the various churches, Ephesus was one of the seven churches that Jesus spoke to. And Ephesus had initially had a strong love for the Lord. So much so that you will later see that they were willingly giving up all of their occultic practices and not hanging on to any of them. That would be like us today saying, I don't want any worldly influences on me anymore. I'm giving up anything that would have an impact on my life that would draw me away from Christ and towards Satan in this world system. Those are very difficult for people to do. As a matter of fact, many people in the church can be easily drawn into things that are of this world and make that their number one direction and purpose for living, even as a Christian, and it impacts your ability to be used of Christ. The church at Ephesus had a strong love for the Lord initially. Jesus said that that love waned later on, and some of the very things that they'd given up, those things that had an influence on them, it wasn't the occultic practices necessarily, but it was really things that would impede their zeal and love to do the will of God and for the church. Well, we see this first love and the initial response when Paul speaks at the synagogue. It doesn't tell us how long he stayed there, but it evidently was not a long period of time. We know that in some of the churches, or some of the cities, as we've looked at these missionary journeys, it tells us that he was there for 3 weeks, or he was there for a year, or a year and a half, but it was a long extended periods of time, and it tells us, does not tell us here, but the response was tremendous. And Paul observes the response, and he takes two of the people that he feels are most equipped to deal with these people and to help them to understand more of the truth of God's Word. And he says, and as he came to Ephesus and left them there, that is Priscilla and Aquila, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, and he reasoned with the Jews, and then he left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, and they continued the work of the ministry. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Now, Paul said, I can't do this. And sometimes God has plans. And I remember a number of years ago, there was a fill-in pastor that we had at a church we were attending. And he taught Bert and I a lot. And he also taught the people that were attending that church a lot and helped us to grow in the Lord. We wanted to call him as our full-time pastor, but he said, God isn't giving me the freedom to do that. And so he didn't stay as the full-time pastor, but went back. He was from Pennsylvania. He went back to Pennsylvania to be with his family. And part of the reason was, he said, God has got unfinished work for me there. Part of it was unsaved family members that he really felt compelled to deal with. And God led him to start a church in Pennsylvania from where he was. So even though we longed to have him be the pastor of the church we were attending, he chose not to do that because God was leading him a different direction. At this time, the people wanted Paul to stay. They desired him strongly to stay, but he says, I can't at this time. God isn't allowing me. I need to go to Jerusalem. Now, one of the reasons Paul needed to go to Jerusalem was to attend one of the three festivals. It doesn't tell us which festival it was. It likely was the Passover feast that Paul was on his way to Jerusalem to attend. But we're not given the specific time of year, and so we can't really determine, nor are we given the specific feast. But if Paul had a desire to go there to attend this feast. Part of that, I think, was he wanted to emphasize to the Jewish people, because Paul was, he said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin, but he called it all of that done when he came to know Christ. But he still was Jewish, and these people that were attending the feast, whichever one it was, they would be the most orthodox of all the Jews, because they sought to obey God's word in attending the feast, and would come from all over the world to attend that feast in Jerusalem. And Paul evidently wanted the opportunity to be there, whether it was to minister to them, whether it was to talk to the apostles, but he saw that God was calling him to attend this feast, and he could not stay in Ephesus. But he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But he says, I will return again unto you if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. Paul kept that vow, and he returned on his next missionary journey. And it wasn't that awful long that he was back in Ephesus. And I want you to see that Paul, when he made a commitment, if God allowed him and there wasn't accentuating circumstances that would result in him unable to fulfill that commitment, he fulfilled the commitment. And that's one of the things that we need to do as Christians. See that when we make a commitment, it's not just light words that we're saying, but these are words that have an impact on people's lives. These Christians at Ephesus that had just become believers, and some of them probably hadn't accepted the Lord yet, wanted to have more, and they understood that Paul had a great way of teaching and laying out the truths of God's Word in such a way that they could comprehend and understand it and compare it against the Scriptures so they could grasp how that Jesus was the Messiah and then how that they were to live as His followers. And so they needed more instruction. They wanted more instruction. Paul committed to give them more, and he was not going to back out on that commitment unless the Lord took him a different way. And that should be our desire in life, is when we meet people and commit to whether it's ministering to them or teaching them or befriending them or whatever the commitment that we make, that we follow through in our commitment, because God will honor and use that in helping us to reach people. That's exactly what he did with Paul. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, saluted the church. Now, Caesarea, this would be the Caesarea along the coast, and it's the port that Herod had built, and that's where most of the shipping would land. If you would go on a tour of Israel today, if it would be a tour that would look at biblical sites, and just about every tour will take you to Caesarea Maritima, and that is the Caesarea on the sea. And this was a huge port that Herod had built, and he had built it. It was a trade port. It was where most of the ships that were coming to Israel would come into this port, and they'd leave from this port. And this is where Paul would come in, and it's also after, it's where he would leave on his last trip, and that would be the trip to Rome after his third missionary journey was completed. And so we won't see that for a little bit yet as we go through the book of Acts. But this is where Paul landed. Now, it says, and then he went up to Jerusalem, and you go up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, it says, and he saluted the church and went down to Antioch. Well, the reason you don't go down to Antioch from Caesarea, because Caesarea is on sea level. Antioch wouldn't be that much higher than sea level. One place that you always go up to and down from is Jerusalem. If you go from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and that's where the feast would have been held, so we know that that's where Paul was going, and he saluted the church. He saluted the church and would probably have been the church in Jerusalem and the apostles that were remaining there. And as he went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, then when he would go to Antioch, he'd go down to Antioch, even though oftentimes Antioch being north of Jerusalem, we'd say, oh, he's going up to Antioch. No, it's because Jerusalem's elevation is one of the highest elevations in Israel, and so you're always going up to Jerusalem. From wherever you go up to Jerusalem, and that's why they say, for example, they're coming from the south, they're going up to Jerusalem. From the north, they're going up to Jerusalem. From Caesarea, you go up to Jerusalem. From Jericho, you go up to Jerusalem. From Syria, you go up to Jerusalem. And so Paul was going up to there, and he was going to salute the church. That is, he was going to have communications with them. And part of that, I believe, is also to give another report. One of the things that's encouraging to believers is to hear reports. We hadn't heard from the Pierces for a long time. At least I hadn't gotten any emails. I finally got an email when we were on vacation. It came to our email. I was checking my emails so I wouldn't have about 800 emails to get rid of when I got home. And the Pierces sent us an email. I'll print a copy of it. And they're continuing to do work in the ministry in India. And it'll talk to you about all the things that are going on there. But it's encouraging when you get reports. It's encouraging when I get the report from Christian Dynamics. And I usually post those on the board. We just got the last one while we were gone. I'll bring it next Sunday and post it on the board for you. And it gives a report on what's happening in India through their ministry. And it's encouraging to see how God's working, because all we hear from the media around us is how all these awful things are happening around the world, but at the same time, God is doing tremendous things in the world. One of the reports that just came is Voice of the Martyrs, and they've got more reports of ways that God has worked, and the new Voice of the Martyrs magazine is out in the magazine rack. If you want to take it home and read it and then bring it back so someone else could take it home and read it, please do that as they share how God is working. It's an encouragement to see the power of God in the face of all the wickedness and evil, yet He's working in people's lives, and He's changing hearts and drawing people onto Himself. This same type of reporting was done by Paul as he'd go back to, first of all, Jerusalem, and then, as we see, he goes back to his home base, and he says, and he went down to Antioch. Going down from Jerusalem, even though Antioch is north of Jerusalem, and he had to walk. He doesn't say he sailed there, but rather he probably went by land. He went down from Jerusalem up and to Antioch, which it would be in southern Turkey, northern Lebanon today, is where Antioch would be located, close to the sea. And he went there, and this really had been, like I mentioned at the beginning of the message, had been his home base. And the same thing there, he had purposely gone back there after the first missionary journey to report to the people and let them know what God had done, that the Gentiles were coming to faith, not only in Antioch, not only in Caesarea, with the centurion and his family and others, but throughout all of that portion of the world, as the gospel spread by Paul and first Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, and Barnabas and Mark, and others that went out sharing the gospel. Later on his third missionary journey, we're going to see he's going to be introduced to Apollos, another man that is going to go out and preach the gospel. Paul never wanted to be the man. Instead, he wanted to introduce the gospel to as many as he could see, train as many as he could train, and that they in turn could be used by God, even as he encouraged Timothy and Titus to be used by God, to preach the gospel and to be used of God to instill the truth of God's word in the lives of people and to help God's people grow. So we see that Paul's second missionary journey is coming to an end. But this missionary journey has even seen more fruit born almost than the first missionary journey, as he went to further into Europe, and he brought the gospel to those cities that seemed like they would be cities that, why would you take it there? Why would you go to Athens? Why would you go to Corinth? Why would you go to some of these cities in Greece and in northern Macedonia, which were very Hellenistic in their thinking and very Roman in their government? And yet he took the gospel there and was met with response in every city, but tremendous response in cities that probably we would have thought would not have received him well. And as we're going to see the third missionary journey, the same thing's going to happen. And what we need to be encouraged is God calls us to share the gospel. He calls us to present his word. He calls us to be an encouragement and to lay a foundation as people receive the gospel so they can grow and mature. His spirit will work in people's hearts. His Spirit will open people's eyes, and His Spirit will convict people to receive Jesus. It's our responsibility to tell them. And it's not our responsibility to save anybody, but it is our responsibility to be channels by which we are used to proclaim the truth of His Word to all He brings in our path. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to understand how that You're using the Apostle Paul, how that he saw the importance of training and then giving responsibility over to other Christians like Aquila and Priscilla and Timothy and others, that he would leave in different cities to help the Christians to grow and mature and to continue to preach the word that people could be saved. Lord, help us to do that in our culture today, where we have become really very paganistic in our thinking, and help us instead to become focused on you and the principles that are eternal principles based in your word and the gospel message which can set men free. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 589. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forevermore me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle, for thou art by my side. No wander from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I see the lights of dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw down there and shield my soul from sin. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee, that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Lord, as the Apostle Paul would have made this his prayer, that you would be with him and give him strength and grace, Lord, be with us. Give us strength and grace and help us to follow you. To follow you where you lead us, to take advantage of opportunities you place before us, and to be used by you. Go with us now, we pray, in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.